Brand storytelling is a powerful way of building resonance with customers, stakeholders, and communities. But how do you master it? In this episode, I'm joined by a seasoned communicator, Lebo Madiba, the Managing Director of PR Powerhouse. We discuss what brand storytelling is and which brands are successfully harnessing it in their growth.
Locally, at the moment, I am currently looking at Checker 6060. And for me, that's an incredible story to tell because that's a brand that we didn't have pre-COVID, I think. But a brand that has worked itself into our lives in such a very short space of time.
We also talk about how brands can rethink their communication efforts to implement brand storytelling in their marketing. To help us spread our story, please share this episode with your network. Welcome to the Lead Creative Podcast, where we talk to creative industry leaders, influencers, and brands. We discuss the strategies that influence brand thinking and shape industries. Thought leaders and heads of agencies let us in on some of their thinking and insights. I'm your host, Mongezi Mthathi. Enjoy the show, and please share and subscribe. Lebo, thanks so much for making the time to chat with us on The Lead Creative. I've been looking forward to talking to you because I follow your work quite a bit online and you have a lot to share that I find really interesting.
Thank you. I mean, thank you for having me. I follow your podcast as well. And I've been looking at it and thinking, when is Mwenge's inviting me? So it's excited to be with you.
Before we kick off, Lebo, what got you into this industry? Like, how did you land up in this industry? Because everybody always has an interesting backstory, and I'm looking forward to hearing yours because it's not something that I've heard about.
So I think my story is so boring of how I got into the industry. I'm an avid reader, so I read anything and everything, and I've been reading from primary school all the way up. So I knew that what I wanted to do career-wise has a lot to do with reading and writing. I just wasn't informed enough. I don't think a lot of us, especially people my age, were very informed enough about the creative industries growing up. You know, our exposure to the industry was limited. So my knowledge of where I could practice my reading and writing was in journalism, because that's the one field that I had exposure to, also from reading newspapers and stuff like that. And I think I was in Standard 8, which is now grade 10, I think. And we went on we went on a field trip to the Soweto newspaper, and you know, spent the day in the newsroom, got to interact with journalists, got to interact with the editor at the time, that the agri cluster, and I was sold that that's what I want to do. So post-matric, I applied for journalism at then Technikon Pretoria, Tshwane University of Pretoria. And oddly enough, and I was offended, by the way, we wrote two entrance exam tests. One was English-based, so language-based, and then the other was general knowledge-based, and excelled in the English and didn't make it on general knowledge. So they said to me, you write well, you speak well, so go into PR. And and that's how I ended up in PR. And I didn't even know what public relations was. I just went home and I said to my mom, I'm going to study international communications. There's media relations and public relations in there. Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I mean, that's a very fascinating story and how you landed up where you are. And I think fast forward to, you know, today, you talk a lot about brand storytelling, or at least those are some of the posts that I see you writing quite a lot about within this space. What inspired you to focus specifically on brand storytelling within the PR space? And can you describe what you mean exactly by brand storytelling?
Sure. So, I mean, in my play in PR has always been around corporate communications. And corporate communications is pretty much strategic, high level up in the organization type of communication. So it would be what the CEO is communicating, what the CFO is communicating, what the company is communicating from a financial perspective, for example. And what I found, and what I discovered earlier on is that, it's changed a lot now, but it was that a lot of corporates drove pretty much transactional communications instead of telling stories. So your corporates would communicate around their financial results. They would communicate about financial stability and those type of things. And they were missing the gap from what they could communicate about the people in their businesses, the products in their businesses, the services in their business. And for me, that was one area where I felt that there's an opportunity to work with corporates to realize the power that lies in creating and aligning their strategies to how they want to be perceived in the market, and then using that as part of their brand storytelling, so that what they communicate from a brand perspective and what they communicate from a corporate communications and corporate story perspective are not two different stories. They're very much connected in the way that it happens, because one influences the other, you know. So you as a brand, as a corporate that has multiple brands, for example, there is a lot of interest in where the ownership of those brands sits. And what kind of company owns and holds those brands. And I think over time, that is how that conversation has now also evolved to sustainability, because of social media and because how communications has evolved, we've arrived or landed at a place where consumers are driving two-way communications between the brands they love and the companies they love. Where consumers are very informed about the brands they love and companies they love, and also very attuned to ensuring that their purchases are aligned to the values of an organization. And that is not something that you can that can be achieved if a brand is not able to tell its story in a relatable way, in a convincing way, and in a way that is engaging with its audiences. So for me, that's my view on storytelling.
So of course, Lebo, you've seen a lot of these, you know, brand storytelling sort of, you know, implementations being done, or executions being done by various brands. Some brands, of course, have weaved their way into our lives in ways that their stories definitely make sense. But for somebody who doesn't see it, doesn't see the strategy, and needs to be sort of walked back to where it all starts, can you share some examples of brands that you believe do this brand storytelling really well?
Sure. So there's quite a few. I think as marketers, as communicators, we always refer to Nike. And I think it becomes a bit of an obvious one for us, because it's very exemplary for a brand that has had its tagline for so long, that has made everybody feel like they belong, so you don't have to be an athlete. And I think it works as something that we can always look back on and track over time. And I think what they've done is that with the way, I think brands have been challenged in the last few years by issues around human rights and about women and gender equality and those sort of things. And what I've loved about Nike is that they have always found a way to see themselves through some of those issues and to course correct where they have gone wrong or where the public may have given them scrutiny for how they have either reacted to an issue or not even reacted to an issue. So as a primary example, I would say they are. Locally at the moment, I am currently looking at Checkers 6060. And for me, that's an incredible story to tell because that's a brand that we didn't have pre-COVID, I think. But a brand that has worked itself into our lives in such a very short space of time. And my fascination with them is that they are telling a story of quick, efficient, readily available, responsive customer centricity to different audiences. So depending on what angle you're looking at them from, you pick up a story either way. So as a marketer and someone that is very passionate about technology, I'm observing and loving their innovation. So I'm reading into their innovation story and I'm seeing how they are constantly evolving, improving their technology, bringing that innovation into how they service customers, communicate with customers, both from a customer experience perspective and from the use of technology perspective. But you could look at it differently from a consumer perspective who's not interested in some of these things that, you know, that some of us are interested in. They just want to place an order and, you know, receive their groceries. But they are getting that. But what they're also getting is, and I looked at what the brand did, I think towards the end of last year, they have that action hero guy, like their biker that they sell in stores. And they have that little kiddies biker. And I'm so grateful I do not have a toddler that would that would want one of those. But for me, that was so special because it also humanizes these people that we just see on bikes, you know, just weaving themselves through traffic and giving them, you know, some space in our lives for us to be able to recognize them. So that for me is one brand that is doing well. And another that I have also observed over time is Sweep South. Sweep South is an online platform to book and secure cleaning services, you know. That, I mean, from a technology perspective, it's an innovation story that I love. But what Sweep South has also been able to do is give a voice to people who don't have a voice. You know, your cleaners, domestic workers are not people that we hear and see from a lot. But the way that Sweep South does their communication is not so much pushing into us, you know, the service that they provide, but it's also telling us the stories of the women that are able to control their own time, for one, and make a living and be in control of how they do this, which is something that they never had in the past. So that for me is what brand storytelling is about. You know, it's for me, brands have to be able to tell us what they do, but they also have to show us their impact. And where the impact is for me is where the story lies.
And I like that you've used, right, so brands that are so different from each other, and that thread of storytelling is real across all of them, which to me makes which makes it really fascinating and interesting, because then it says it really says that you don't necessarily have to be always this sort of cool, hip, sexy brand all the time in order for you to kind of resonate in that way. But somebody else who's listening to our conversation might see this and think that marketing and advertising have always done these things. Why are we differentiating brand storytelling from how marketing and advertising have always operated? And I think that would be, again, one of those things that as a marketer inside a brand, I would believe that I've got brand storytelling anyway, because it sounds to me as though this is what we do every day. How would you differentiate it from the traditional way that it's always been done?
True. Okay, that's such a good question. I feel like I need to dissect it in my head very quickly. So for me, there's a bit of a holistic line of thinking that we need to apply when we're talking about brand storytelling, right? Because if you are advertising, if I take it there, oftentimes you are not advertising the whole. You are the sum of the whole. You are advertising a portion of what that whole is. And therefore, your audience only gets exposure to that which you are putting out there. And brand storytelling for me is not just about the piece of comms that you're putting out there about a particular part of your business. It's a holistic storytelling about the entire business. And it's pretty much aligned to strategy, because oftentimes we see strategy and tactics in marketing as solely a marketing and communications thing. But it is, for me, it's more than that. It's about aligning what we're doing from a brand and marketing communications perspective to what the business is doing, to the corporate strategy and the business strategy, because it means that everybody in that organization has to live the story, right? So not just what we put out in the market. So when you have a solid brand story that you have weaved into your entire business, the storytelling is not only the job of marketing and communications and PR, the storytelling is the job of everybody else in the business. So when you have done it and done it well, and your strategy doesn't only sit within marketing and communications, but sits within the entire organization, it's something that your HR people need to buy into. It's something that your finance people need to buy into. You know, it's something that your sales people need to buy into, because they too are telling your brand story, whether you're in control of it or not. How your HR people recruit, how they know the type of people they need to recruit because they fit in with what the brand is about. That for me is part of that for me is also part of storytelling, because what attracts talent to an organization is not just the paycheck, you know, it's also what they have observed, what they see, what they experience, what they've heard about your business, about working for your business is about. Same for, you know, the people that make contact with your customers to follow up on sales, to follow up on payments and so on, how they do it, how they speak, how they present themselves, creates an impression with the audience that they speak to. So it's like I said, it's not the job of marketing and communications. Marketing and communications is pushing targets and sales and that sort of thing. But the storytelling is part of who you are as a brand and as an organization in all elements of your business, not just in the pretty fancy stuff that we put out there.
So then I get this sense that it's a golden thread about the business, that if you see an ad, it forms part of that story. If you see a piece of communication, it makes a part of that story and all of this. And it's not the job of one person or one department. In that case, then who becomes the custodian of this brand storytelling if it's a golden thread that lives throughout the business?
I think the way that companies are structured, it becomes... the custodian is the CMO, it's the chief of marketing, it's the chief of communications. Some organizations have chief of marketing and chief of communications, and those are two separate roles. But the goal in terms of storytelling in those roles is, I would say, is the same. So as champions, those are the people that own the story. But in an integrated way of working, you know, everybody else that represents the organization should be able to tell that story. When a CEO stands in front of his audience, he should be able to tell that story. When a CFO stands in front of investors and analysts and those types of people, although they are talking numbers, but those numbers should be able to tell the story, and so on. You know, I think that's why you are able to have a look at things like best company to work for. I think those there was a bit of that coming out in media in the last 2 weeks or so. That's also a company story to tell, you know, if you are a best employer. But the CMO is not the one that tells the story of why the business is a top employer. The chief of HR and the chief people, chief talent officer, they are the people that are telling the story about why they are the best employer. And that comes through if there is if there's effort placed in ensuring that the story, although championed by comms and marketing, is able to live through other areas of the business.
If you're enjoying The Lead Creative, please share this episode with your network and hit follow or subscribe. Enjoy the show.
Now, there are very many important things that you said there, and one of them is this idea sometimes that, you know, to tell a good story, the story needs to resonate with your customer. It needs to resonate with everybody in the market, from, you know, best company to work for to the best organization to buy brand A versus brand B from, or at least product A versus product B from. Now, we are in a time, or at least we are sort of in this cost of living crisis that we are living in at the moment, where increasingly customers and people are becoming price buyers. We're buying the cheapest thing on the shelf and not so much the thing that has the best story at certain times, right? I mean, we had a different conversation a few episodes ago with the CEO of Kantar South Africa about something similar. And of course, what came out of that conversation is that research shows time and time again that brands with good brand equity tend to thrive even in, you know, even when economies or even when there's a bad economy or whatever the case is. Now, how then does brand storytelling contribute towards people choosing one brand with a great story that might sometimes be more expensive on the shelf versus another brand with not so much a great story that's just the cheapest thing that they're buying? How does brand storytelling then contribute in that context?
So I listened to that conversation and I agree with him, by the way, so I will not give you a different perspective from what he gave you. You're going to get what you got from him. The thing about brands is that they are emotive beings, if I can call them that. You know, they are brands that we use because they are heritage brands. You know, my grandmother used it, my mother used it, I'm using it, and sometimes there's no story to that. It's the story is my own internal story that this is what we use as, you know, generate, because it's gone from generations to generations in my family. And sometimes with those type of brands, I find that when we are in times like we are now, that's when people start looking to see, what are my alternatives if I can't afford this heritage brand that's always been in my family? And my sense is when people look and they will not go for a brand they do not know. They will go for a brand that they may not have considered previously, but one that they are aware of, one that they have seen something that they like about, and are willing to give it a try. So that ties back to brand equity. So those brands that they will fall back on are the brands that have done the work of, you know, creating a bit of swell about who they are, what they're about, and have done it consistently to an extent where if someone is looking for an alternative, that's the brand they're going to fall back onto because it's cheaper than what they might have been using previously. And they might not necessarily just go for a random brand that they don't know. And my other view on that is even though price conscious, they're still looking for quality. They're still looking for a brand that delivers on its brand promise. So buying cheap does not mean that you haven't considered quality and what your experience of what that
it might be reasonable, but it needs to be as good as what you've bought in the past. Yeah,
it might be reasonable, but it still needs to be as good as, and it still needs to deliver on 1, 2, 3. Because at that point, what the consumer is looking for, even though they are price conscious and they're looking at alternatives, they're still looking for value.
Now, in this space, in this field that you work in, you also see and deal with a lot of crisis, or at least crisis communication or crisis management for brands. How does brand storytelling help in times of crisis, in instances when you are not popular with the consumer?
Sure. So that forms pretty much what we do at PR Powerhouse day to day, and my engagement with my team is that we need to migrate ourselves from viewing everything as a crisis, but more to issues management. And I'll give an example with one of our clients is a mining company, and mining companies are going through a lot of scrutiny at the moment with lobbyists that are against fossil fuels, are against the impact of mining on the environment, and that's affecting the way that mining companies do business, and it's also affecting their share price, and it's also affecting quite a lot of things that is in the ecosystem of mining. You could view that as a crisis, or you could view that as an issue that needs to be managed over time. And how you manage that issue over time is looking at, we are aware of the issue, and we are not ignorant of it. But we also know that this issue is not something that we can solve overnight. You will not be able to shut down a mining operation because of its impact on the environment today, just because that's what environmentalists are calling for, because there is a lot more to consider, like the fact that these mining companies employ thousands and thousands of people, that we live in a country that has a jobs crisis, that some of these mining companies are in communities that they have built up to what they are and are plowing a lot more money into those communities. So, you know, do you just switch off? And when you switch off, what happens to the people, the area that this operation is in? So how you tell a brand story in that type of situation is to look at, you know, how are we progressing to a future where, as a business, we are able to control or make it manageable for us to be able to operate and not be harmful to the environment, and understand that it's a progression. It's not something that will happen overnight. It's a progression that, you know, you are aiming for in 5, 10, 15 years' time. But while we are doing that, you know, are we still able to employ people? Are we still able to put in money into the communities? Are we still able to take accountability for some of our actions and course correct as we go? So that type of approach for me, I would not say it is a crisis, because crisis means that, oh my God, things are falling apart. How are we going to pull it together? It's more of looking at being considerate of, you know, where are we? Where are we going? Where are we going wrong? How do we manage the noise that is happening at the moment, while also ensuring that we have a plan in place to ensure that in 5-10 years time, we are not where we are at the moment.
And I love the example of a mine, or at least a mining company, or an industry like a mining company, which has it's a very divisive kind of topic, right? It's not very gray in terms of how the topic is. It divides society in very black or white kind of ways. You know, you are blue or green, like you can't, or you are, you know, red or white. You can't be in a very gray area. And we've shifted from consumer brands, or at least brands that are sort of consumer facing, to a brand that is both sort of B2B and consumer facing in a way. And the difficulty in brand storytelling now, I suppose, and I want to pose you as a question, is how then do you communicate a brand like a mine, where the majority of the population doesn't really associate with what it produces, or doesn't see what it produces? It's not something that I can just go into my local supermarket and say, this comes from a mine. And therefore, I have this kind of attachment, this kind of affinity, this kind of resonance with the mine, in a way that storytelling or brand storytelling kind of does, you know, because it creates that, right? I think it creates this resonance. You mentioned Nike. I'm a Nike or I'm a Reebok person. I'm a Mac or I'm a PC person. But with a mine, like, there's no way to say this comes from a mine. You know, I like this mine because of that. How then do you make that kind of story tangible?
The tangibility of a B2B story is really about the audience that you're speaking to. And it comes with the maturity of knowing that not everybody's your audience. So with a mine, for example, mining communities will always remain an audience for mining communities. So how you tell that story is how you look at what a mine has done in the environment that it operates in. You know, there are a lot of people who grew up in mining communities, who went to a school that was funded by the mine, who were taken care by a clinic that was donated to the community by a mine, and who get to have an interest in the kind of careers that you could that one can go into having grown up in a mining community, because they've got much more exposure than anybody else to a mine, and then go to varsity and be funded by the same mining company, and then be placed in an organization in that organization for their internship or the first few years of their careers. And that's a good story to tell from a human interest perspective. So a lot of the kind of storytelling that you do there is more about how do we look at the human interest of, you know, what the impact of this organization is in the community that, you know, that it operates in. Those mining communities often have to deal with traditional leaders, have to deal with farmers, have to deal with those types of audiences in the environment that they operate in. You know, in a farming, in a situation where the mine is sharing resources with farmers, you know, there's a lot of conversation that goes there about clean water and water as a resource and that sort of thing. So that farming community is an audience for that mine. And then if you look broader outside of the mining community, it's about the jobs that have been created, the type of people and leadership that's coming out of the organization that you can tag onto to build some of that story. But I think, like I said, B2B comes with the maturity of knowing that everybody's not your audience, and being able to know who's the audience and what is the story that we want to tell to them and about them.
Now, in building a narrative for a brand story, how important are things such as consistency as well as authenticity? And how do you, because a lot of brands or a lot of companies that we kind of deal with will tell you that they are authentic, will kind of peddle around this idea of authenticity and this idea of consistency. But in the background, how do you ensure authenticity and consistency in your narrative as a brand?
Don't you hate the day we started using authenticity?
Yeah, changed everything. Hey.
Have you not been authentic before? Have you just started, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think some of these trends are problematic. So I think the issue is when you start telling a story because you want to be authentic instead of being authentic and then telling your story.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So your actions naturally just have to be authentic, and then your story will be easier to tell. And then if it's how you do business, then consistency is a natural, you know? But when your objective is we want to be authentic, and then you're creating these things that you think are authentic and you want to start telling stories about them, then it becomes harder to be consistent because, you know, we're looking for where we can find pockets of authenticity in our marketing and in our comms and in our business, as opposed to just being a good, you know, a company that does good, and then being able to take the good out of your business and be able to tell those stories externally.
Actions speak louder than words.
Because actions do speak louder than words, yeah.
Now, for brands that want to then get into brand storytelling and build it, how do they then foster or build community and brand loyalty for themselves on their journey towards building brand storytelling or building a better narrative for themselves?
I think it's in knowing that it's a journey, that it doesn't happen overnight. Because I'm sure you've worked with clients who say, but we've been telling our brand story, it's been 3 months. No. These things are built over time. And I think sometimes it helps to be targeted about, you know, who you want to be engaging with at what part of your journey of brand storytelling. Because that will also allow you this consistency that we're talking about. Because if you're specific about the audience that you want to talk to, and build on it over time and monitor it and see how it's translating into whatever your metrics are, then, you know, it's easier to track and build over time to a point where you think, okay, I think we've got this audience now. We need to expand, you know, we need to expand our reach a bit wider and build on that. But I think that the key thing is to understand that these things do not happen overnight. If you have a look at a brand like Nedbank now, when they came out with Money People Who Do Good, I think it was a difficult story to tell back then. But if you look at the track record of the kind of work that the brand has invested and has done over the last few years, you can start pointing at the good that they have been able to do. And for me, the success of that is that they did not want to be Money People Who Do Good and tried for 6 months and then said, no, it's not working. We need another purpose because this one is not working. If you've invested the money into such storytelling, you need to understand that it should be an investment that you know, that you are willing to give the space and the time to develop and grow over a period of time, and then do the right things that ensure that you grow towards the goal that you're chasing. So the issue with chasing quick results is that you're not giving your brand, your teams, your people the space to also internalize what, you know, what the story that we want to tell is about, and be able to express it in the way that they operate on a day-to-day basis. So be decisive about the story that you want to tell, invest in it, and give it time, and pour into it as you go, and, you know, amend and adjust accordingly as you go, but don't change it. Invest in it and then see it through to where you want it to go.
Now, Lebo, if you could ask any living person about their unique take on marketing, creativity, or life, who would that person be, and what's the one question that you would ask them?
I follow strange people, man.
Aren't you all strange?
I follow really strange people. The one person that I like and follow is Satya Nadella. He's CEO of Microsoft. And what I like about him is how he has brought his personality into the Microsoft brand, but has done it in such a way that if he leaves tomorrow, there would be no attachment to him. You know, sometimes when leaders leave companies and they have built personality around the brand that they represent, there's sometimes a fallout of, you know, what is this brand going to be outside of, you know, of its leader? So he would be the person that I pose the question to, into, you know, how is it that he has been able to bring his personality and creativity into reviving what could be seen as somewhat a very old brand, and that was very tired at some point because it just sat in the background when the, you know, the likes of Apple were coming into the fore. But it's starting to act like, you know, a new age type of business.
Okay, so it's, yeah, how do you infuse your personality into a brand?
Without
looking like you are the brand and making it about you. Yeah, no, that's a great question. That's a great question. So what we always do as well is we invite our guests to share a question for our next guest. And our previous guest was the country manager, CEO of H&M South Africa. And she had this question to ask our next guest. So this is for you.
My question would be, how can your industry impact making this the best country in the world?
Oh, your questions are not easy, are they? So,
well, I didn't come up with this one. So,
how can my industry? You know what? I think that the country has. I mean, we are going through challenges at the moment as a country, right? And there are huge challenges that are at the point where we have to be very focused about what our next is going to be. But there are some beautiful things happening around us, especially in the arts and sports field sectors, where, you know, they have kind of carried the morale of the country in the last year or so. And I think that as an industry, as marketers and communications, we have so much power because everything that is out there that is communicated in various media platforms, we have a hand in. And I think that we have to always remember that despite or in spite of our leadership, country leadership, and the challenges that we have, we too have the power to influence and to change the narrative. And that is something that we should take with us. I think artists, sports people have shown us that it's possible. Sure. And we can only just pick up on what they've been able to create and make sure that we are positioning South Africa as the best country in the world, because I think we are.
That's amazing. So take the baton in your own way, in your own industry, and use your influence to kind of share the positive story. Now, the last question then, Lebo, is similar to what we asked our previous guest, which is, if you were to ask our next guest one question, what would that question be?
Do I get to know who your next guest is?
No, well, if you have a crystal ball, you can tell us who our next guest is, because we also don't know. So I also don't know. I'd love to know as well.
Okay, I'll make it an extension of this one. And it's that outside of what, you know, we have experienced with arts and culture in building Brand South Africa in the last year, what other assets do we have at our disposal to build on what Brand South Africa can be?
Sure. That's a great question, and it might be interesting because our next guest might not be South African, but they'll have a view. That's an amazing question. Lebo, thank you so much for making the time to talk to us. I think out of that, I'm getting the sense that your actions speak louder than words. Brand storytelling is really important, but beyond brand storytelling, do good business, be good. And that will speak volumes for you as a brand.
100%. You know, you don't have to recreate if it's already a living being in your brand and in your business. The best thing to do after that is share it with everybody, share it with the world, share it with your customers, and that's it.
Thanks, Lebo.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to The Lead Creative. Did you get one insight that's worth sharing from this episode? Please share it with your network or your friends. Pop me some of your ideas and innovative finds on Twitter on @Mongezi. This podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also find me on mongezi.com.